This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Brian Rowitz, he's got stuff going on down in Florida, high school football stuff in Florida. So this week it's just myself, Gabe Knights from ESPN Milwaukee, from ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. Of course, you can also check him out. And you're going to be on this Sunday, right?
Yes, sir.
SiriusXM. So if you're looking for immediate reaction after on Sunday morning, after Saturday night's main event, Jay Hood is part of SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation every Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. And that's where today's show is going to be just a little bit different. Usually we go through our top story, three count. We'll still have news and notes and match of the week. We'll do that at the end. But this is the end of an era. This is the end of John Cena, the professional wrestler. Now he is going to be in WWE. He's going to be making appearances. I believe he's already scheduled in Vegas for the night after WrestleMania. So he's still going to be around the product from time to time. But this is the end of his in-ring career coming up on Saturday as part of Saturday night's main events. So let's just start here, Hood. How are you going to remember Cena, the wrestler?
So, Gabe, I'll remember John Cena, the wrestler, as a white meat babyface that had to eat all the shit that Vince McMahon gave him, meaning that someone who cared about your kids, someone who did all the make-a-wishes, but yet he was booed and was says, oh, John Cena sucks. It's not even about John Cena. It's just a trooper, man, a company guy that said, you can boo me even though I'm doing all the babyface things. And I know that you're not booing me. You're booing creative. You're booing Vince McMahon. But, Gabe,
one thing to separate, by the way.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, think about human nature, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Every day you're busting your ass, right? And mm-hmm. you're wrestling and you're making all the towns. You're doing all the autograph signs and all that. And the same person that is getting the autograph from you, he's saying that you suck. Think about that. That's got to wear on you for 10 plus years, 20 years of mostly being a babyface and being booed and saying that you suck when he really didn't. So that's the hallmark of Cena. I will just remember a guy that just took all those slings and arrows and smiled all the way to the bank to a successful career.
I think, and he talked a little bit about this in the Tom Rinaldi interview that he did, which is weird that Tom Rinaldi did it, because like of all the different broadcast partners that WWE has, Fox is not one of them, and Tom Rinaldi works for Fox. So that's the only thing I found strange about it. And it was a tremendous interview, and they had kind of been slow rolling it out and released the whole thing on their YouTube page after Raw on Monday night, and he talks about it a little bit there. Of some of the growth that he had with some of the different wrestlers that he worked with as his career went. He is somebody who I feel like the growth of him as a wrestler is vastly underrated, right? When you think of Cena, you think Cena, five moves, doom, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, that whole thing. And there was one point in the early 2000s, maybe late 2000s, early 2010s, where it's like, man, yeah, I'm kind of sick of this guy. It is just the same stuff each and every week. Promos are kind of cookie cutter, five moves of doom, Cena wins, LOL. And he did start to grow. And I would say it started in the late 2010s, or excuse me, in the early 2010s, you know, with the Summer of Punk and some of the stuff that him and Punk did back and forth. And obviously The Rock getting involved there with some of those WrestleManias. And I can't remember the specific moment, but I just remember thinking after he kind of went away for a while to kind of do some of his first Hollywood stuff before he came back to WWE, and he starts doing all the, it's like, oh, I kind of missed like this Cena, but he had also grown. Like he was different in the ring. Like, yes, he still did the five knuckle shuffle. Yes, the attitude adjustment was still there, but it felt like, and again, he kind of talked about some of the growth that he had as an in-ring performer. And we talk about the storytelling aspect, I feel, a lot, whether it's the actual stories or the story you tell in the ring. And it's hard to tell like a significant story that you can care about in ring when you have the five moves of doom. Oh, he does these five moves, John Cena wins. And I think Bleacher Report had kind of, I think they named it the greatest John Cena match of all time. And I've talked about it here in this final run, a Monday Night Raw match between him and Punk. Where Punk is desperate and wants to, you know, qualify. It's his last chance. He wants to get through Cena to be able to face Rock again, do all these different things. And it was a fantastic match. And they told a story within that match. And I feel that's something that John Cena got better and better and better at as his career went on, to the point where you couldn't chant, "You can't wrestle at him anymore." Like, you literally could not do that, because the dude, while he was a sports entertainer, like, he was a sports entertainer and he was a professional wrestler. Like, he ends up checking off both boxes. Again, not early Cena, but I would say mid to late Cena certainly became a lot better in the ring, probably more than he gets credit for.
I think that's fair. It's funny about the five moves of doom. Go in the weeds with me for a second.
Okay.
So in this Cena era in which he came up, you know what we saw? We saw indie wrestlers. You know what those indie wrestlers were doing? Flying all over the place, flipping onto the ground and flipping onto fans and flying all over the ring. It's kind of like we see with some wrestlers today. And so I think that the five moves of doom thing came from wrestling fans evolving, where they say, you know, five moves of doom is not good enough anymore. But it was good enough when Hogan was wrestling, because it's the 80s. There was no indie wrestling. It was just territory wrestling. And everyone was doing the same thing, right? They had all the submission wrestling, and the slow plotting wrestlers would do their thing. I think that the fans turn, it's not necessarily turn on Cena, turn on Vince and turn on WWE, because they go, this is your top guy. Well, I see a whole bunch of guys that are better wrestlers than John Cena, because they do so many different things. And so I just want you to just envision, Gabe, think about Hulk Hogan in the 2010s when he first comes out, right? Turquoise trunks, and he drops the leg. He just does five moves. Well, you know what? Hogan would have been booed too, because he just did two or three things. So in that way, I think that people looked at Cena and go, you're top guy. I can watch Amazing Red in my high school gym do a million things that could thrill me and get me off my seat. You do the same things. You say the same things. I just think that the fans got bored with the character, because the character did what Hogan did in the 80s. So they wanted something a little bit more dynamic. I think that's fair.
Yeah. And again, even though we only got the one heel turn from him, like, there were times I remember him cutting, you know, he was talking about dance moves. I think it was a Raw after WrestleMania after he had lost. And he's, you know, talking about what's next for John Cena. And he teased a heel turn and actually said the word heel turn. But he, like, moved his foot on the heel like he was faking a dance move just to kind of, like, so you knew he was always aware. Like, he always heard everything. A lot of people, like, love to pretend that they don't, right? Oh, I don't hear that outside noise, you know, in any sport. Even though we know that they do, we know that the noise, that it gets to him and they can use it however they want. Like, he always had a way of just kind of letting you know that he was listening. And again, I appreciate the improvement, because he could have just rode the five moves of doom to a fantastic career and everything that he probably still wanted. But pro wrestling was still important enough for him to evolve and get better, even as his career progressed and Hollywood was becoming more and more of a bigger part of his life.
It's hard for guys like Cena in that era to overcome the bad writing and the bad promos that they were given. Think about that. How bad is that, Gabe? It's like, here's a piece of paper. You read exactly how I think that you should be. The only time that Cena broke through that glass ceiling was toward the cusp of pay-per-views. I just saw it popped up on my timeline on GKW_wrestling, our X feed, of him just taking apart The Miz. That wasn't written. That's him just going after The Miz. Like a 3-minute scathing promo of what, you know, you changed your name from, you know, The Miz to Mike, and you got this suit on, you don't know who you are, you think you're Chris Jericho, all that. Like, that wasn't written. That's John Cena trying to make something out of a match, right? Trying to really do a great job of promoting the match. Same thing he did with The Rock, same thing he did with a lot of people, CM Punk. Toward the precipice of a pay-per-view, he'd break through that nonsense, that slop, and just kind of be himself and cut promos and having bars against wrestlers. That felt like the real John Cena, more so than what he was given at times.
Yeah, and I guess that is kind of one of the regrets I think we have, right? Like, what would he be? Because as you mentioned, a lot of the promos, and we think about that, even when he buried, you know, Austin Theory. And he had the promo against Austin Theory, the promo he had against Solo Sikoa, like some of the later stage promos where he's able to be himself. It makes you wonder, what could he have been in the mid to late 2000s and early 2010s if he was let off the leash by Vince McMahon a little bit more? Because the creative and his ability to talk is something that separated him. It's what made Stephanie kind of realize, hey, how come we're not doing more with John when he was doing the freestyle raps? I mean, that's been covered on a number of different WWE shows of yeah, John had the great opening, you know, ruthless aggression thing against Kurt Angle, but then he disappeared for a while. Kind of like Jericho. Jericho popped up, had that great opener with WWE. Nobody knows, you know, everybody's, oh, well, what's this new tease? And then it ends up being Y2J, has this great opening promo battle with The Rock, and then kind of disappears for 4 or 5 months. That's what happened to Cena, where he disappears. And then Stephanie realizes, oh, this guy can freestyle rap. And that becomes, you know, the word life gimmick for John Cena that really starts the whole thing for him in terms of being a mainstay for the WWE roster. And they probably didn't take advantage enough of his ability to cut a promo. Like, hey, here are the talking points. Go do your thing, John. Like, just wasn't a thing, as you mentioned, when he came up. And that's probably one of the great regrets of, okay, what could he have been if Triple H was in charge, right? Like, because Triple H seemingly lets guys go out there, give them the talking points. You got to go sink or swim by yourself, kind of like what they did during the Attitude Era.
You know what he could have been, Gabe? A monster heel.
Yes, he could have been. He absolutely could have been.
Yes, you asked what he could have been. Babyface, yes, but have a heel run and then back to a babyface. The way he could be able to cut people apart, like having the world championship, and not like the sad, frowny Cena at the end here. Not that guy. I'm talking about a young, fresh John Cena that could just cut the opponents apart. He's still get it done with five moves of doom. If he wanted to add a little something, he could. But the point is, though, is that the world could have been his oyster if Vince would have allowed him to get the ball. Didn't get the ball. He got the ball to an extent, but it's still Vince's baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got the ball in terms of, yeah, you're the quarterback, but you're not allowed to audible. You got to run the play I'm telling you to run. And
yeah.
Not great. You know, there were times where it just was not great. But again, he ends up being the face of an entire era, right? When you think about WWE, it starts with Hogan, and then it goes to the Attitude Era with Rock and Stone Cold. And then it ends up being Cena. Like, who's going to take that next torch? It ends up being Cena, who ends up being the face of that generation. And he ran with it for almost 25 years.
And booed along the way, and like almost throughout until toward the end here. Told you, when I went to the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, I wanted to be able to check out John Cena's one last time in Chicago. And there was no John Cena sucks chance. There were no boos because there was an appreciation for who John Cena is and what he brought to the business. Look, we're older guys, but we understand what John Cena means to a certain generation. I totally understand it. But it wasn't like that generation was great, Gabe. You know, John Cena was the face of a generation in which wrestling wasn't necessarily the coolest thing, you know. It just wasn't. Just based on the verbiage that was given, some of the bad creative, and clearly Vince McMahon was distracted, as we come to find out, from some of that creative. But John Cena, you can't deny, even though you might not have liked the creative, you have to admit that Big Match John was a thing. That you kind of thought he was going to win, but like, how is he going to win? Would he bleed? How would that work? So when it came to those pay-per-views of him being the face of it, man, he pulled it out. He was the champion and deserved that opportunity. But you are correct. What if they were a little bit more creative with John, more than just babyface for 18, 19 years? Imagine if he had some ebbs and flows to his career. That would have been really
like literally every other professional wrestler. Like he literally had the longest babyface run of, it was longer than Hogan, right? Like, cause Hogan in the mid 90s ended up turning heel. Like, we didn't get a heel turn for Cena until what year are we on? 22, 23 for him in his career.
Yeah. So becomes proto star in OVW, comes to there, talking about Ruthless Aggression, a little bit of a heel run before World Life. If you remember, it was Cena, Undertaker, a little heel run there, and they didn't like Cena. They didn't think he was much. And then that whole thing, as you mentioned, with Steph kind of opened the doors for him. But there was a short heel run, but it's kind of like how we would think Austin Theory as a heel run. That's what I would say.
Even before Word Life, like, sure, that was John Cena in the way that Mark Calloway's career began in WCW, right? Like it just, it feels something Mark. Like completely, yeah. Like it's something completely different than what we're used to seeing, you know, like, yeah, sure. That did happen. It existed. But you really think of that word life, I think is really, I mean, outside of ruthless aggression, because it was just such a great moment at the time. And it's been played over and over again, him coming out with those, you know, with those shorts and literally just yelling ruthless aggression at Kurt Angle. Such a great moment. And then, you know, again, you have to fast forward to get to that word life stuff, but yes, but kind of the same way, like you don't think of Mean Mark unless somebody brings it up with Undertaker. You think, oh, Undertaker, when he first showed up at Survivor Series with Paul Bearer.
They like the creative of Mean Mark in WCW. What a name, huh? What's your name? Mark Calloway. Mean Mark. All right, mean get Mark. Out there.
Well, it's kind of like Big Bronson Reed. Like, how are we supposed to know that this guy's mean unless we tell him he's Mean Mark? Okay, now you got to be mean. You gotta be mean Mark.
Okay. Yeah. So, I just, there's been a lot of celebrations for John Cena and a lot of kudos to Cena. I really believe he is going to leave for real this time. This is not a Terry Funk, Ric Flair kind of situation. You know, Gabe, I really believe that when he says he's hurting, he's hurting. But then all the interviews that you and I have seen, and I wish we would have had him on Good Karma Wrestling, maybe that's down the line, maybe when he's promoting a movie, we can get him on. But I, when he says that I'm hurting and I'm going to retire when I feel like that I can't give my all the interviews I've seen from him, they all ask, but John, you're giving the best matches of your career right now. And they are like some of the best matches, right? Where he's like, he's putting the work rate in. You see it. Mm-hmm. Like he's putting the work in, right? And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's my last year. I'm still hurting and I know I'm doing more, but after this, I have no more to give. That says something, doesn't it?
It does. And I don't know if it was the Rinaldi interview or if it was with the Bill Simmons. Again, he's been everywhere. He's done a lot of interviews. But talking about how the original plan was he wanted to do like 220 days. He wanted to do like the full calendar year schedule. He was going to clear everything, not do anything in Hollywood. And nope, I'm going to go full 220. And Hunt's just like, no, man, you don't need to do that. Like, just I just respect it and I like it that's what he wanted to do, and ultimately somebody had to step in and say, because he's still been filming in his other stuff, like he hasn't put everything on hold. He's talked about kind of flying back and forth and doing some of the projects he's done with some of the dates he's had to do for WWE. I appreciate that was the initial plan, but like you said, he's hurting, and if he had done a full 220, I don't know, he probably gets hurt at some point. Right? He probably gets hurt at some point and we don't get the finish that we're about to get.
Well, that's 100% right. I heard him say that too, or maybe I read that online. Yeah. He said the full 220. You know, I thought, I go, John, you're a little bit behind the times. They don't run 220 events anymore. I said, I don't know why you'd say that. That's the old schedule, 220.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's more like under 200 events now. And you wouldn't have to be at every house show. I mean, I'm sure you would have liked to. And we don't have Brian here to count it up quickly, like because he's the guy that would do those stats. But it wouldn't be 220. It'd be like 150 or less, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's not doing that.
Yeah, it'd be 150. If he did every Raw, SmackDown, and PLE, I think it'd be probably close to 150. And then, yeah, you sprinkle in the Saturday night's main events and like those one-offs they have, it's probably closer to 150.
Yeah, and even for a veteran like him, I'm sure Triple H would say, okay, you don't have to come to this show. Oh, I want to come to the show. I need to come to the show. Like he wouldn't have to wrestle every show. No one is even doing that in the company now. With these smaller cards that they have, a lot of people are sitting at home watching the show because they're not on every show. It's kind of funny for him to say that because there would be no 220 for him in 2025. Get out of here. You got to do Evolve? You got to do that? You got to be on Tubi? Come on now.
Well, he's got to do main events, right? He's got to do the main event whatever they call it, you know. Yes. that's like on the he was probably factoring in speed. He was probably going to be the speed champion for a little bit, you know. Got to show up and do some speed, be, you know, wrestling on X, things of that nature.
I see. Yeah. AAA, he would have AAA run.
Yeah.
My God. But you are 100% right. At his age, it would have been a wrestling tragedy, because he would have got his body broken somewhere along the way. So that
we wouldn't have gotten, again, he stayed healthy this entire time. We wouldn't have had, you know, because if he's clearing his schedule for 220 and then he gets hurt and he can't wrestle, it's not like, oh, I'm going to pick it back up. No, he's got to get back to the other stuff, man. Like, that's how you're actually making your living at this point. So, again, I respect him saying that he wanted that, but I respect even more whether that was Hunter, whether that was someone close to him. Like, man, you don't have to do all that.
Do 20.
And again, it gave a special feeling when he kind of hit all those towns for the last time. I think he still hit all the major towns that he absolutely needed to, which moves us to, is there a match, an opponent that you wish you could have gotten to see in John Cena's career?
Dream matches. We got Cena Ambrose, did we not? Did we get Cena Moxley?
Yeah, but again, yeah, it would have been... I mean, Cena Moxley is different than Cena Ambrose.
I like Cena Moxley. Like, see what that looks like.
Like that, this version of John Moxley, yes.
See, I always think about whether or not the style makes the fight. Because I can go way off into the space and tell you Cena against Okada. What does that look like? John Cena against... How about this year's Cena against Okada? What does that look like? A Japanese style that Cena would have to wrestle. Would he work that? Could he do the AEW style, which is the Japanese style? Could he do that today?
I think he, again, it's not something he could do often, but if you asked him to do it one time, I think he could.
That's a help. I mean, I think he could catch up with the work rate just based on the AJ Styles match, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he was working his ass off on that match, right?
I mean, the big miss here, I think, is always Sting. I mean, but Sting with so many different people in WWE because he only had the two matches in WWE. He had the Triple H match at WrestleMania and they had the Seth match. And that was it for Sting.
Oh, which Sting? Which one? Like Joker Sting, TNA? Surfer Sting?
No, well, not Sting. Surfer Sting. Yeah, like the Crow Sting, yeah. Because that's okay. That Crow Sting was what he was in the brief time he showed up in WWE to go into their Hall of Fame and all that sort of thing.
That Sting was in WWE. I mean, it sucked for him, but that's an older Sting.
We saw, he was wrestling a decade later and still being able. Now, again, it was a rare special thing for Sting to wrestle, but Sting was doing crazy stuff. He's jumping out of the stands onto people. Like, I still think you could have gotten something good in circa 2015. Out of Cena and Sting.
Oh, definitely box office. That's for sure. Two baby faces going at it. I'm trying to think of the WWE. I feel like he's gotten everybody in WWE.
Yeah.
It's got to be outside the company. That's what I'm thinking. Because I'm thinking that he's wrestled everybody. Like, did we get Hogan Cena? In like when Hogan returned?
Maybe I'm trying not to think.
No. Yeah. We would know. We would know.
Yeah, I feel like we would remember that more distinctly if it happened. And if it didn't happen, it was insignificant Cena. It wasn't Word Life or Super Cena the way we've come to know him.
Just trying to figure out like NWO when Hogan and Hall and Nash came back to WWE, did they face Cena? Don't remember. We would know if they did though.
Yeah.
Because that would have been box office, that would have been a pay-per-view, right?
Well, and I feel, that would have been a pay-per-view that I feel like in that would have been featured and talked about, especially with the passing of Terry, you know, in the last year. Like, I feel that would have been brought up in some of these different vignettes they've been playing on Raw because they've talked about, you know, him versus Rock and some of the bigger things. So I think they would have,
Gabe, did we get Goldberg Sting? Don't think we got that when Goldberg returned to WWE, did he? I don't think we got Goldberg, that match.
Cena. I don't think we did. I don't think we got Goldberg Cena.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody from WCW? Like Luger? No, I don't need that.
No.
Flair took on Cena? Had to have.
Yeah. Had to have in some sort of form with Evolution.
Evolution Flair, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a throwback. He was 50. I think he was 52, 53 during that time. Somewhere in there. Okay. A lot of WCW guys were given. I can't think of anything else in WWE. So it's got to be those are the top WCW guys, I think.
Yeah.
For Cena.
And in terms of like AEW guy, like you mentioned Okada. Kenny Omega, you know, you get that one in the late 2010s. And I think that could have been a lot of fun. But again, that's just like that version of Kenny Omega would be able to carry it. Like Kenny versus anybody at that point in, you know, 2018, 2019. It is just, sign me up. I'm going to watch anything that Kenny does.
That's exciting that you just laid out there. Kenny Omega against John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Could you imagine what that looks like? I mean, it doesn't matter who's heel or babyface. Just the idea that, you know, Omega's going to be all over the ring. Cena will do his power moves. Mm-hmm. That'd be something.
Yeah. No, especially if you got it, like, if AEW or something. Again, I just kind of imagine, you know, if they could have ever done something like that as being something similar to what One Night Stand was, you know, when he's going up against RVD and you know, just everyone's rooting for one guy. And it's, I don't know, I think it could have been a lot of fun.
I guess when I'm going through the Rolodex of names in my head, this is not one of those things where Cena avoided anyone, kind of like Hogan and Steve Austin never wrestled, or Steve Austin didn't want to wrestle Jeff Jarrett in WWE. That was a Memphis problem from way back. You would think that they would have wrestled, but Steve didn't want that match. Hogan didn't want to wrestle Steve Austin. Hogan didn't want to wrestle Brett. Well, you know, and Brett Cena, we never got that either, right?
No,
we never got that. So there's some, it's like, even though there's money on the table, they're like, no, I don't want to take, because of politics or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Cena literally wrestled. I mean, Daniel Bryan, you know, everyone, like anybody who was in WWE, we saw it all. You know, again, maybe, again, turn back the clock, and if Stone Cold doesn't pick up his ball and go home, and Stone Cold wrestles a little bit longer, we probably could have gotten Stone Cold versus Cena.
Stone Cold Cena.
But again, yeah. I feel like that got represented almost with Rock versus Cena. You know, like that era versus that era, you know, it kind of gets represented there, even though we didn't get that match specifically.
He's gone through everybody in the main roster today, so there's nothing left on the table there. And there's no matches that we want to see Cena with, right? Like, outside the tournament. Looks like he's got everybody.
Yeah, because again, like, I know there are some people rooting for LA Knight, and it would have been fine on Saturday, but like, do I need to see Cena versus LA Knight? Not particularly.
No, I think we're good there. I think we're fine. I think the matchup that we want to see is Otunga against Cena now, apparently. David Otunga, a lot to say about John Cena on social media. The barrister, something to say. Strong. Pretty much calls Cena an asshole. Just like, and by the way, I don't doubt Otunga. It's a ruthless aggression era. All these young guys are trying to climb the ladder and like crabs in a barrel, trying to find it. I wouldn't doubt if Cena dressed down Otunga in the locker room. I don't like, but Otunga's like got these documentaries. He's got like all of this stuff, and we haven't heard from him in years. And now he's got this platform talking about, hey, Cena's a bad guy. Okay.
Well, it first started because they're because of the whole Andrade thing, like whatever. Like, oh, Andrade's in this legal dispute. Let's go to David Otunga, who obviously is a lawyer, but had a lawyer gimmick in WWE. Someone's like, let's go to Otunga because he's a lawyer. He's been in wrestling and he gives his take on that. And it seems like now everyone's just going to Otunga for everything because I haven't stopped seeing him pop up on my timeline. I feel since like he gave his opinion on the Andrade like non-compete and that whole thing.
Sometimes, Gabe, you just need a mirror, right? If you're David Otunga, you look like $1 million when you wrestled. Okay, and there's no doubt about that. And a lot of those guys did in that era, body guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you look in the mirror and you go, I'm David Otunga, and I wasn't good in the ring. I wasn't that good. And Cena's been able to master it. Sometimes you just like, you know what? I'm going to just shut the computer off and go away. That's how you do that. Because think about it. It's Otunga, and there's John Cena. You can tell a few stories for a shoot interview if you want to get paid for that, but just going after Cena at this point in time, not good.
Well, let's go ahead and grade that John Cena farewell tour. What grade would you give this farewell tour? And I was hoping to get a better answer last week out of Vince Russo, just like how hard is it to book a farewell tour or a retirement angle for someone? Because as and you mentioned it before, like you think that this retirement is real. And in professional wrestling, it's the one thing that keeps on going, right? You think you close. Cody Rhodes finishes his story at WrestleMania. Well, the next day is Monday Night Raw. What do you got for me now? right? It's just it's a continuous circle and everything going on within the world of professional wrestling. Stories are happening. Yeah, you float in and out because of injuries, or if you're like Cena, you go off to Hollywood. But I got to imagine, because of the continuous nature of WWE, that the retirement angle is the hardest to book. Just look at any other TV show, Hood, right? Like, the ending is so hard to book. I've got friends this day that are still pissed off about how Game of Thrones ended, right? Yeah. Like, it's just hard to close really good stories, really good things. So closing out John Cena's career, I would have to imagine, is something very difficult to write. And unfortunately, I would not give this a very good grade, because as much as I've enjoyed some of the stuff from Cena, like, overall, the run hasn't been very good.
Yeah, it feels like a B minus to me, and I'm grading on the curve based on the in-ring action from Cena. Mm-hmm. So let's start from the beginning. So John Cena does something pretty awesome that we'll never forget, him actually turning heel in Toronto at Elimination Chamber. We didn't see that coming, and it happened. But just the aftermath of it and the lack of depth to the story, where The Rock just disappears and Travis Scott kind of disappears out of all of it because allegedly or reportedly he didn't want to work hard at being an in-ring performer. And all of it just falls to the wayside. And then just the whole thing of the Dallas, you know, the show Dallas, the Bobby Ewing shower scene of, nope, you know what? I got bad advice. I'm a babyface now. That's ridiculous, right? That's just horrible. And we as fans are supposed to forgive that, by the way. Just like, you know, I got bad advice. I'm not a heel anymore. I'm a babyface. I'm going to kiss my wife and everything's fine. It's just the shits. It was bad. Mm-hmm. So that's why on the front end, it can't get an A. It can't be a solid B. But I will just say that he's turned the nose up on his last times in the ring because of how he's treated the fans now, because of how he's done in the ring. And also on top of that, you know what, Gabe, what's great? We're going to get his last match against Gunther. But he's leaving WWE in a better place from a booking standpoint. Now, Triple H can mess it up in 2026. But just think about from the time he turns back babyface to where it is now. Look at that card. I don't have it in front of me, but that card for Saturday Night's Main Event has got Cena's handprints or his fingerprints all over it. He's trying to present the next generation of WWE. He's telling you that when I'm gone, watch these wrestlers because they're on the come up. And so Cena deserves all that credit for the in-ring and also saying, this is what I want. I want to leave the WWE in a better place. These are the people that you have to watch. That's Cena. So that's why he gets a B-.
Yeah, I guess I would just the heel turn stuff and he just tried to sweep that under the rug in any interview he did. Like, oh, it just doesn't matter, you know, what the original plan there was. Like, that's
no.
I understand you had a really good idea, right? Like, okay, we're going to turn him heel. And now he's saying that was done for shock factor. All right, then you didn't have a good idea. Like, you can't just, because again, like, you can have those really good ideas. And we saw this at how we just talked with Vince Russo last week. How many great shocking ideas did he have over the course of his career, but they didn't follow up and go anywhere. So they turn out to be bad. Like, yeah, you've got that moment, which WWE loves, but if you don't follow it up, like, it ends up ultimately being meaningless. And people are going to, like, you're not going to be able to play that Cena turns heel moment without fans going, yeah, that moment was cool, but everything else after that sucked. Like, it's not something that people are going to look back fondly on as this great moment that happened in WWE history because of the lack of follow-up. Like, if you want to turn John Cena heel, you've got to do it in a much better way than they did. And for whatever reason, Travis Scott disappeared, The Rock disappeared. And if you knew that that was going to be a part of it, then they can't be part of the heel turn. Like, hey, if this is going to happen, Dwayne, you got to be around. Or at least be able to cut some vignettes, you know, cut a promo from your phone, from whatever movie site you're at, or whatever movie you're promoting. Like, you've got to be a part of it. You've got to be somewhat present in order for this to make sense and make this great for John on his way out the door. Again, figuring out a way to close this chapter for anyone. Like, honestly, one of the best ones they ever did was Ric Flair. Now, the problem is Flair unretired like 6 or 7 more times after that. But the whole next time you lose, Rick, next time you lose, you're going to be done. And he has that great run up to WrestleMania where he wins a bunch of matches, comes from behind, wins a bunch of those, and then loses. And we have the, I'm sorry, I love you from HBK before he super kicks him. and then pins him at WrestleMania. Like, that's a great moment. That was fantastic. That ultimately gets ruined by Rick because Rick couldn't stay retired. To your point earlier, John actually is going to stay retired. Like, yeah. I firmly believe that because, again, part of the reason why he couldn't wrestle or be in WWE because, like, those guys get hurt. Same thing with The Rock. Like, you have to, like, block off so much time in case you get hurt because you can't have these other movies get postponed because now you're injured and can't participate in the movie. That costs studios way too much money. It's way too dangerous. So, like, I firmly believe with the future he has in Hollywood, like, he's going to show up and we're going to hear the music every once in a while. He's going to cut a promo, but he's done in terms of in-ring stuff. And they just weren't able to stick the landing, unfortunately, for John, because they had the idea. They just didn't know how to.
And once again, a shout out to John Cena for being a company guy, Gabe. Being a company guy, because every interview I've heard from John says the company needed a heel, and I raised my hand. I said, I'll do it. Well, he didn't have to, by the way. Didn't have to, but he wanted to do something fun. Unfortunately for Paul Levesque, and this is why it's a negative on his resume as a booker and as a matchmaker, is that they didn't really think this thing through. That's a problem, right? If you're going to do something like that, and I'll give Vince credit, whether or not it was good or bad, at least there was a plan. And the plan faltered, and Cena was part of that plan that faltered. For them to have to pivot the way that they did in a full 180, just like, you know what, this whole heel thing, you guys didn't buy into it. It didn't work. And John at times was not comfortable with it. I remember him on the Breakfast Club telling the Breakfast Club, like, yeah, I was in Birmingham. I did a promo and I just didn't like the way it sounded. Like I tried, but I thought I sucked. I didn't think I was convincing as a heel. That was strong. That's a strong commentary for someone who's prideful like John Cena. So it's amazing that we're here with Cena's last match coming up on Saturday, despite the WWE almost derailing what was supposed to be a special year because of this heel turn that stunk, you know?
Yeah, and again, we still got some cool stuff out of it. Like, again, him versus Punk with Cena being the heel, like that was, and Punk coming out and he talked about it and how Punk almost made him break when Punk came out in the Punk Life year. While Punk was cutting his promo, he took the microphone down, looked at him and said, I miss you already, and then continued with it. And he said that almost broke John at that moment. But again, there were some cool moments in there, but ultimately, like, the heel turn, it just stunk because you couldn't make it make sense. And while I enjoyed, again, I thought the explanation of, hey, I'm still going to do me. I like my colorful t-shirts. I like my song. So I'm doing this for me. Because, well, then they could still sell the t-shirts because even though he was a heel, you know, it was John Cena farewell tour in insert city colors here that they were able to sell all along the stops, all along the way. And I'm sure people were still buying those up because it is John Cena at the end of the day. It just unfortunately stunk. And again, like you said, the face turned back explanation stunk. Now, I've enjoyed some of the face, like the baby face stuff we've gotten, him versus AJ Styles, him in the lead up to this tournament, him versus Dirty Tom in the two matches they had. Like, the baby face stuff has been a lot of fun. Just, again, getting him back to this. I think they kind of realized, hey, there's no way good way to do this. Let's just hurry up and do it so we can get to some of the good stuff we want to get to on his way out the door. And it is what it is.
You know what? It's interesting, Gabe, to watch John Cena. We complimented some of his great matches that he's had in 2025. I'm sure some of them will be Match of the Year candidates. I just think that, you know, usually in that situation, the wrestler that is retiring is at his last legs. Like, he can't really do it anymore. It's like Ric Flair's last match. It looks kind of like that, right? It's 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It's just maybe some of them. But, I mean, like, Cena in this match against Gunther is going to do his best. He is going to put on quite a show, I think, against Gunther. Because if you watch these other matches with Gunther, he takes a lot, but he gives a lot too, right? So I think is why I think it's going to be very interesting for Cena, where it's not going to look like, oh my God, he has lost a step. He actually looks strong. And if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you about the last match. I don't think that's a lower third. I think we should segue into that match, right, for Saturday night's main event. So let's talk about Monday Night Raw, because I thought it was an interesting Raw. Watch the whole thing live, Gabe. Like, you know how we're busy. Sometimes we're doing other stuff, but we actually watch it live.
Yeah. Every once in a while, the schedule lines up and you're able to sit down on a Monday night and watch it live
on Netflix. Here's what I think is interesting about this match. Gunther comes out with the promo, starts off the show with the promo. And he says that, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that you give up, because it's always the big towel. You never give up. He's been saying that for 20 years. But never the whole key of it is he's telling everybody, just calling a shot like Babe Ruth, right? He's telling, you know, I'm going to make him tap. Yep. I'm going to make sure that you give up. That's one thing. The second thing about that promo wasn't that long, but I thought it had some meat to it.
It was efficient. It was very efficient.
And the second thing that I really liked was he said, you know what, John? You are the greatest sports entertainer that we've seen in WWE, but I'm the greatest pro wrestler. So you know what they laid out? Mm-hmm. Pro wrestler versus sports entertainer. Now, I don't know if John takes offense to that. You started the show, by the way, talking about how you felt like Cena's checked both boxes, pro wrestler and sports entertainer. Mm-hmm. Gunther only sees him as a sports entertainer and says, well, you're great for sports entertainment, Vince era. What he's doing is shitting on the Vince era. But I am the greatest pro wrestler. There is your story right there. Two stories. You're mm-hmm. not really a wrestler. I am. And I'm going to make sure that you give up because, to my knowledge, my encyclopedia, and I don't remember Cena ever tapping out or submitting in a match. Do you? In his whole career?
I don't. I got to assume there has been one, but I'm going to look it up as we speak.
So I think that is the dichotomy of the two. And also, if this was in the 1970s, 1980s, you know what would happen is Gunther would have a Austrian flag and he'd be waving it, right? Because he'd be anti-American. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing is screams Rocky IV with Gunther against John Cena in Washington, D.C. Back in the day, this would have been America versus Austria. But today it's just Gunther, the guy that is, you know, the classic pro wrestler that could be able to wrestle in any era, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, with the black robe and the black boots and the black tights against the All-American John Cena. It just is perfect. Perfect place, perfect timing, perfect opponent for John Cena.
So a quick Google search. It seems like all of this happened in early 2000s, Thugonomics era. So there was one match against Jericho where he won via disqualification because Jericho hit a low blow, but then Jericho put in the walls of Jericho. So then Cena can be seen tapping after the match. Kurt Angle tapped him twice, with his ankle lock. Before that, so like 2004 that happened. And then Chris Benoit also made him tap out in December of 2003. So before hustle, loyalty, respect, never give up, colorful t-shirts, Super Cena era. So of this John Cena character, it's been 23 years since he's tapped out.
That's right? Insane.
So, yes. So that, which again adds a nice little wrinkle to that. And I'm curious if that is mentioned by Michael Cole, because I think that adds a little bit of depth when they're in the, hey, he said, you know, right at the beginning of the match, oh, Gunther said he wants to tap out Cena. Cena hasn't tapped out since, and give the time that he last tapped out.
Classic pro wrestler against sports entertainer. What Gunther's telling you is that whole era, that wasn't pro wrestling. That was just promos mm-hmm. and short matches and it was just not good. But what I'm doing is real.
Bad stories. Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what makes this, even though we knew this was probably going to be the last match, I think it makes, if Gunther actually does tap him out, again, that to me, because I was critical of Cena losing to Dirty Dom, because I thought that would take away a win from, but if Gunther taps him out, that's something completely different. Like, if he actually taps him out, that makes Gunther look really strong. Now he retired Cena by tapping him out. He retired Goldberg earlier this year, and that sets him up to be this monster heel and go on, I think, a pretty big run in 2026. Okay,
so let me make a pitch to you. Let me pitch something. So this – and I for the life of me, I don't know what that is that Gunther's doing to be LA Knight. I don't know what that move is. I'm not sure what you call that. It's a cross face something. I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure I've seen that before, quite frankly. But I know that he was smothering LA Knight, and LA Knight tapped, which also is a surprise, right? That's how you beat him. You tap. But also Gunther called a shot before that match too, if you recall. Called a shot. Say LA Knight, watch how I beat LA Knight. And so you saw that cross face thing they did. So the pitch I'm gonna make to you, Gabe, is that after a long match, Gunther wears down John Cena, puts him in that same hold, but Cena passes out and loses, but he never gave up. But Gunther still wins.
I think that's probably the way I think that's the way they have to go.
You expect Cena to lose, right?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because he is, I think he is, much like Sting had to be convinced, like, no, we're putting you over. Like the Young Bucks said, no, we're not going to pin you. You have to win this. I think the similar thing would have to happen, but I think John would just push back and go, no, it's better for the business. It's better for the company if Gunther beats me on my way out. I think Cena is going to take that. And again, if he passes out, you know, Gunther can leave, you know, everyone can kind of come out, you know, bring John to give him the smelling salts, whatever you want. And then Cena can wave to the fans, leave the sneakers in the ring if he wants on his way out in his final match, which, by the way, this has two main events. Like it is dumb. I'm going to say it right now. It is dumb if this leads off the show.
Yeah.
This needs to be the last. This whole thing is built around him and this being his last match. It needs to be the main event. And I think
I'm confused by people thinking, and I've seen what you've seen, that it should be first, unless there's like a thread throughout the show of Cena and then something happens that's weird and you got to restart the match. I'm not sure. I just expect it to be a standalone main event match and then whatever happens, happens. I've seen the same thing you've seen. People believe it should be first and then there's something weird that happens. And I don't know. I think that it deserves a main event status.
The only reason I can think of for it to go first is in case it goes long. Like you don't want to happen what happened to Goldberg where he gets cut off. Now this isn't on network television. So I'm guessing they'll have a little bit of leeway on the back end on Peacock. I'm not 100% sure how that works, but I got to imagine with this being streaming only, they've got some room on the back end should it go long. And you're not dealing with the very tight time constraints that Goldberg was when that was actually just on NBC, because they actually have to get out because at 10 o'clock Eastern, you know, you've got whatever's coming on after.
We'll call it now. I'm sure we'll talk about it next Thursday as well on Good Karma Wrestling. But I think that if Gunther does win, Gabe, man, I mean, he already is a Hall of Famer. He doesn't have to wrestle another match only because you retired Goldberg and Cena in the same year. That's crazy. And that means the company really feels strongly about you. And I'll say this, because people will think, you know, when or if Gunther wins, oh, well, you got to put the title on him. Actually, you don't. He's an attraction. I said this on Busted. Oh, I think I might have said it here too, but we do a lot of content here, so I don't know where I'm saying it. I might be saying in my bathroom. Who knows? But he is the biggest attraction in WWE, not named Brock Lesnar. I mean, because you don't have to roll him out there every Raw and SmackDown. You don't. He's special. WWE's made him special. I'll tell you also the conjecture that's out there about Gunther. I'm in a text thread with a lot of current and former wrestlers that believe that Gunther's boring. And some fans feel the same way. And I would say, and my response to them is, Gunther is not boring. He's just unique. Everybody cannot be Javon Evans, right? I know a lot of, I know AEW, there's a lot of wrestlers like Javon Evans, you know, that are bouncy and, you know, fly all over the ring. But I like that there's a giant and you got small guys, you got medium-sized guys. And so that makes a whole roster. Unless you're the Houston Rockets where you got everyone 6'10 or taller, you want to be able to have a roster of variety. You want the variety. Right? How's that working for the Houston Rockets, by the way?
You
How's
do.
That working the everyone 7 foot roster with no real point guard.
I'm not there with Gunther being boring. I'm with you that he's an attraction because like I can, we've talked about what the future of the world championships in WWE look like. And Gunther, as of right now, is not in that picture. Maybe he's back there eventually. But I see him. So if he retires Cena, okay, now he's the modern day legend killer. Well, that kicks off a feud with Randy Orton, who is the original legend killer. So now you can have that. He can retire AJ Styles when Styles retires in 2026. He could pick off in a 2-year span Goldberg, Cena, and Styles. Like, and just continue to build him into this just giant monster heel who chokes everybody out on their way out the door. Like, this is, I can see a future and a very good future for him if you tell the right stories and pull the right levers of him retiring yet another guy in 2026.
I love when you book on Good Karma Wrestling. It's always great.
I think it's right there. I just think it's right there for you to be able to do this for Gunther. And again, it sets up by Cena. I think it ends the way you described. I don't think Cena gives up, because the don't give up thing, I can see him not tapping, right? But passing out in whatever hold that is that Gunther has, that makes the most sense to me, of him passing out at the end of Saturday night's main event.
I don't know why you're wasting time with Marquette basketball when you could be working in WWE on the weekends. I don't know. Why can't you just be writing with them and giving them that brilliant idea? That's me next, Orton. That's awesome. Be perfect.
Oh. Yeah. Again, like, that screams WrestleMania to me, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what WWE does with Saturday night's main event. Again, the other matches, just quickly on that. So we have Bayley versus Sol Ruka. More on Bayley here in just a moment. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee taking on Javon Evans and Leon Slater for the World Tag Team Championships. And then Cody Rhodes versus Obafemi in a champion versus champion match.
Neither title on the line, I don't believe.
No.
I'd like to see what that looks like. Well, we will see Saturday. But this is also Cena's fingerprints. Let's see the next job, like, because that's an unusual card, right? It's just like, what's going on here?
Yes.
That's Cena showing you, like, here's what's next. Obafemi probably lose that match, but probably should win it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably should win it, but
he ain't gonna win.
But what if, right? What if Obafemi won that match? Like, that's no shade at Cody Rhodes, but it really would accentuate the point of who's next, the next generation, right?
I mean, the only NXT, and there is a TNA star in there as well. The only NXT wrestler I think could win is Sol
Ruka. Yep, she's very good. From what I understand, she's very good.
Yeah, and I can also see Bayley just going, "Oh no, you can pin me. That's fine." Like, it feels like, and I know she was, where was Bayley? And where she was kind of talking about how she struggled last year. She got taken off the WrestleMania card and trying to find her spot in today's WWE. But I also, after what she just did for all these young wrestlers and have 3-day seminar, where she put everybody up, paid for the whole thing. I can also see her going, "Oh no, you just pin me on TV. This is going to be fine. This is going to work out for you."
Pretty good card, buddy.
Speaking of Bayley and those news and notes, she did have that seminar and a lot of people contributed. So shout out to her for that, but also John Cena showed up on one of the days. So shout out to John for showing up to this free seminar that Bayley is putting on, just to, I think, A, it puts Bayley over. B, who in that 3-day seminar wouldn't want John Cena to be there? Just a really cool touch by him.
It's who he is, man. It's who he is. There's a story from Nettie Neidhart about, and she has her dungeon where John asks, like, what's the dates of your dungeon I want to go see? And she's like, you don't have to come. No, I'm going to find a date to come see your kids. And he just flew down there on his own dime just to be able to impart his wisdom. It's not one of these things where it's like John Calipari's got to put his beak in everything, you know, just letting you know what he thinks. It's not that. It is just a guy that cares about the business that much that he'd do that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And again, I hope Bayley can do more things like this. I don't know if she can. I don't know how much this costs. Like, for her personally to fly everybody in, put everybody up, feed everybody for 3 days. Just a really cool thing, I think, by Bayley that was made even cooler with John Cena. This really more of a note for Brian, even though he's not here. Unreal 2, Season 2, starting January 20th. So I feel like he just needs to keep notes there since that is his responsibility to be keeping an eye on Unreal on Netflix.
What is it cover, do you think? WrestleMania?
So I think they're probably the biggest thing that they're covering is the Seth Rollins fake injury.
Okay. All right. He'll let us know what's going on with that, because I won't be watching that at all. No interest at all. No, okay, and for those of our new viewers and listeners, if you think wrestling's a work, which it is,
yep.
What do you think Unreal is? They're telling you about the name. In the name, it says Unreal.
The work about a work. If you work so much, then it becomes a shoot. I'm not sure how that goes. Logan Paul, meanwhile, going back to Travis Scott, Logan Paul was saying on his Impulsive podcast that he thought he was supposed to work with Travis Scott. However, Scott no-showed an event, and those plans then went by the wayside. Kind of seems to be a consistent theme here with Travis Scott of not wanting to put in work, not showing up to things, which is why he has disappeared from WWE programming.
Why would you rely on Travis Scott? He loves the company, but not to be in it. And actually put the work and do, you know, all of the things that you need to do to be a wrestler. It's one thing to be a fan of it. Mm-hmm. It's another to put the work in. Ask Jelly Roll. It's the hardest thing you've ever had to do. You had to lose weight and also be able to look good in the ring. It's hard. That's not easy to do.
I believe Jelly Roll also going to be in Unreal 2, just in case you were curious.
No.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Since you were talking about this was not in news notes, but I do remember this and seeing this on my timeline. Yes. One of those guys who did put on the work was Bad Bunny. However, Bad Bunny recently seen at a CMLL event. Now that is obviously outside the WWE purview because in Mexico they are AAA.
Yes.
I just found it interesting.
Now, listen, Tony Khan's not that savvy, not that smart.
No.
I think that Bad Bunny was trying to cover himself so WWE would not get wind of that.
Yeah, because he was seen sneaking in. I can't remember whose mask he was wearing, but he was wearing one of the luchador masks on his way to his seats. I think the dude's just a pro wrestling junkie, and he just wanted to go to the show.
He just happened to be in town. It's like, you know what? I want to go. I mean, we haven't seen him in a while. And again, I still think about that Puerto Rican show just once a year, once a week. I still think about Bad Bunny and that crowd in Puerto Rico. Ooh. Oh my God. Just such great time. So that's what he's trying to do. Just quietly, just so Triple H wouldn't know, but now everybody knows.
And then finally at Will Ospreay's women's event that he's got putting on, AEW women's world champion, Chris Statlander, is going to be taking on the wrestler formerly known as Dakota Kai.
Ah, okay. Should be very interesting. Dakota Kai, will she be healthy? The woman with many knee braces in her career. Holy Stone Cold.
Yeah, I was about to say her and Stone Cold. Yeah. Give Stone Cold a jingle. Figure out which one's the best one.
Jeez. I mean, she always with a knee brace. My God. One other note about Mr. Electricity Steve Regal. A wrestler I grew up watching, the AWA, passed away, but no one knew he died. Apparently, he died in July. It's December. So maybe that body was decaying in his home and people didn't know. But Mr. Electricity Steve Regal, he was a light heavyweight, Gabe. And during that time, especially in the 80s, it's like, you're too light to be in the title picture. Today, Steve Regal would be a guy. Think of Steve Corino, put it in that way. Remember Steve Corino when he wrestled? Mm-hmm. Like kind of in that way. Cocky, great heel. He and Jimmy Garvin beat the Road Warriors for the AWA Tag Team Championships. So I was always a fan of Steve Regal. Before William Regal, before the Steve Regal we knew in WCW, there was Mr. Electricity Steve Regal, who passed away in July, but we know about it this week. How about that?
That's wild that can happen, that nobody knows that somebody passed away 6 months ago.
Well, you better make sure that the people in our company know if you're going to go, don't just expire in your chair. Make sure someone comes and sees about you, for God's sakes. So we've got news and notes, and we've got Gabe Neitzel, who died in July. Could you imagine that part of the meeting? Where Craig announces your passing.
Fourth Friday company-wide meeting. Oh, by the way, former teammate, I guess we were still paying him for 4 months. We haven't seen him. Gabe Neitzel's now a former teammate because he passed away. Nobody found his body.
I mean, you can't have that. Imagine that happened in this company. Come on.
All right. What were your matches of the week, Hood?
Well, sir, I mean, always starts with AEW, right? So I thought the best match I saw was Kyle Fletcher against Mike Speedball. Bailey.
Yeah, yep. Knew it was going to be good. It was so good. It was spectacular.
Were you surprised at the finish? I was not. I was not surprised that Mike Bailey won.
What's that?
I wasn't surprised that Mike Bailey won the match.
Oh, neither was I. Because I think at some point, I don't think they wanted Fletcher to go through there like undefeated, right? And they usually have a lot of these surprise wins for guys, you know, from time to time. And it was a fantastic match. Had a bunch of false finishes. And then you do it kind of simply where he surprises him with a roll-up right at the end, just right before time expires. I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was a great ending to the match, and I was not surprised that Speedball got the win, though.
I was wondering if Eddie Kingston could survive Samoa Joe. I thought that Eddie Kingston actually held up well in that matchup against Samoa Joe in the main event.
Yeah. Yeah, that was solid. I had higher hopes for the women's tag team match that kicked off the show. I mean, it was still solid, but I thought it was going to be better. I was hoping it was going to be better.
Well, a lot of moving parts when you work once every 2 weeks, you know. Or sometimes once a week. It wasn't smooth. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Again, it was still fine. It was just I had high expectations for it because I feel like, well, we know what Toni Storm and Mina can do, but I feel like the Babes of Wrath had just been going really good, and it just kind of for whatever reason it didn't connect, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It's just I thought it had the chance to be something that we would be talking about today in a more positive fashion. In WWE, I thought the Gunther versus LA Knight match was really good on SmackDown on Friday. I thought that was pretty good. Which I think the first time I've said something like that about an LA Knight match.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like the near falls for the near falls that he had was amazing for LA Knight against Gunther. And Gunther, again, gives a lot, takes a lot. And just the way that match ended was fantastic. So I think that was one of the best matches that we saw of the week on SmackDown. It was great.
Yeah. What was there was a Mox match. There was a Mox match on Collision.
Yeah. It was the main event of Collision, I think.
Yeah, because he wrestled. It wasn't – because that was last Wednesday when he wrestled Cesaro.
Yes. Takeshita, wrestled him as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it was the Mox Takeshita match on Saturday night. Yes.
Just very briefly, I just don't know when the Death Riders are going to look at him and say, okay, what's going on here? Like, you keep losing matches. So.
Well, so the interesting thing to me was, did you notice Mox in the promo he cut last night? He was saying, hey, this is for them. But interesting, Claudio wasn't there and Pac wasn't there. It was just Marina and Daniel Garcia and Yuta. Mm-hmm. So there were a couple of Death Riders that were missing that are usually flanking him when he cuts those promos. So I don't know if that was intentional or if that's just, these two are also in the Continental Classic, so we're keeping their distance. But it was something that I noticed and don't know if that's going to be something that's just a little hint that they're dropping. For some potential dissension in the ranks of them turning on Mox.
By the way, shout out to Samoa Joe. Saw what you did in that match against Eddie Kingston. Kind of the cross face, kind of a salute to John Cena. I saw that Easter egg on Wednesday night. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah, because again, see, they had a nice little crossover, obviously, in when Samoa Joe was in WWE as well. Make sure you are checking us out on our YouTube page. If there's anything that you missed from today's show, want to check out some past interviews that we've done, comment, subscribe, check us out, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. We'll be back next week reacting to what we saw at Saturday night's main event, plus all the things happening in the Continental Classic. It's all next week right here on GKW.